It is said that the average four-year-old asks 400 questions every single day. Now, questions about anything and about everything. Most of the questions begin with the word why. Why is water wet? Why is the sky blue? Why do we have two eyes and not one? Why does the wind blow? Mommy, why is your hair gray? And Dad, why do you always say, ask your mom? Now, sometimes the questions that they ask have only one word, why, over and over again. But why is not a very bad question to ask. Actually, it's a very good question to ask. And sometimes asking why helps us to clarify what we're thinking about. And we all need some clarity when it comes to the subject of Christmas. Why did Jesus come to earth? Why was he born? Why do we celebrate his birth? And to get the answer, we need to go to God's Word, the Bible. There is one particular passage among many passages that gives us the answer to that question. In the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 1, verses 18 through 25, it says this. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph before they came together, she was found to be with child by the Holy Spirit. And Joseph, her husband, being a righteous man, and not wanting to disgrace her, planned to send her away secretly. But when he had considered this, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child who has been conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. Now all this took place to fulfill what was spoken by the Lord through the prophet. Behold, the virgin shall be with child, and shall bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which translated means God with us. And Joseph awoke from his sleep and did as the angel of the Lord commanded him, and took Mary as his wife, but kept her a virgin until she gave birth to a son, and they called his name Jesus. Matthew's account of the birth of Jesus Christ comes to us from the viewpoint of Joseph. It's shorter than the account in the Gospel of Luke, which comes from Mary's perspective. When Joseph and Mary were betrothed, which is more than being engaged as we think of it today, something strange and scandalous happened. Mary became pregnant. Joseph was a godly man. He did not want to humiliate Mary, so he made up his mind to divorce her quietly and quickly. But while he was contemplating all of this, he got a visit from an angel in a dream, telling him not to be afraid to take Mary as his wife, and that the child conceived in her was from God. And what that angel told Joseph after that gives us the answer to the question, why? In verse 21, the angel said to Joseph, she will bear a son, and you shall call him his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. That's why Jesus Christ left the glories of heaven. That's why he left perfect fellowship with the Father and with the Holy Spirit to take on humanity and to become one of us. That's why the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. That's why Jesus came to earth and made his appearance as a baby in a manger, which, by the way, is a feeding trough. That's why he came in Bethlehem, surrounded by Mary and Joseph and animals and shepherds and angels and a starlit night. Because of that. Why? To save his people from their sins. That was his mission. That was his purpose. And the words of the angel make it crystal clear that Jesus is the Savior. The very name that was given to Jesus, Yahshua, means God saves. God saves. Listen to what the scripture says about this. In Luke 2, "But the angel said to him, 'Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy, which will be for all the people, for today in the city of David, there has been born for you a Savior, who is Christ the Lord.'" And we can find that in many other passages in both the Old Testament and the New Testament, that Jesus is the Savior. He was born to be the Savior. A Savior is one who rescues, one who delivers another from danger, from some kind of danger. Now that raises a question for all of us. How does the fact that Jesus is the Savior relate to you and me? How does that relate to us? Because each and every one of us needs to be rescued. Each and every one of us needs to be delivered. Each and every one of us needs a Savior. Now, from what do we need to be saved? What is the danger that we face that is so serious that it took the life, the death, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ to resolve it? What could be that serious? And the answer is a simple three-letter word: sin. There it is, sin. Jesus came to save his people from their sins. Every single one of us is sinful by nature, which means that we inherited sin from our first parents, Adam and Eve. We are sinful by choice, which means we sin ourselves every day and ratify their decision. And we're sinful also by habit. By nature, that is, all of this, we are hostile, disobedient, and rebellious to God. We don't like to think of ourselves this way, however. And you might say, and there was a time I might say, well, I'm a pretty good person. But the question is, are you? God's standard isn't pretty good. And his standard isn't, I'm better than the grouch down the street. That's not his standard. His standard is perfection, because he is absolutely holy and absolutely righteous. And that's what he demands from us. Anything short of that standard is sin. And God must judge sin if he's going to be consistent with his character. He can't simply let it slide, sweep it under the rug, look the other way. He's absolutely just. He has to punish sin, and the punishment is death. As a result of our sin, all of us by nature are under God's wrath, his judgment, and his condemnation. That is why we need a Savior, which is why Jesus came. We need a Savior, and Jesus Christ is that Savior. He is the only one who can rescue us from the wrath to come, as it says in another book in the New Testament, 1 Thessalonians. He is the only one who can deliver us from his Father's judgment. We know this is true, but we have to remind ourselves of it constantly. The government cannot do that, even though they think they can. The government cannot do that. Politics can't do that. Money can't do it. Our own good works can't do it. Not even religious activity can do that. None of it can. Only Jesus can. Jesus saves his people from their sins because of who he is. he is fully man. He had to be in order to die for our sins as our substitute. He's fully God, which he had to be in order for his sacrifice to apply to all of his people and not just himself. Jesus saves his people from their sins, not just because of who he is, but because of what he's done as well. Jesus lived a perfect life, a life of perfect obedience to his Father in our place, a life that you and I could never live. And that satisfied God's demand for holiness and for righteousness. He died a sacrificial death for our sins in our place, a death we should have died. And that death satisfied God's demand for justice. Then, though, on the third day, he rose again from the dead, proving that he is who he claims to be and that he accomplished his mission to save his people from their sin. All of this happened because of God's grace and because of God's mercy. Not because we deserve it, because we don't. Who did Jesus save from their sins? His people. Who are they? That's the next logical question. His people are those who know deep down that they're sinful and that they're separated from God. But they know more than that, too. Not just that. They know more than that. They know that their sin is heinous and it is ugly in God's sight. They know that they don't deserve anything other than his wrath and his judgment. His people are those who have repented of their sin, which means to turn from it. They've asked God to have mercy on them and forgive their sin and their wickedness. His people are those who have turned to God, turned away from sin, and turned to God by putting their faith and their trust in Jesus Christ alone to rescue them and to deliver them and to reconcile them with God the Father. And if you're not one of his people, I urge you to repent of your sin and to believe in Jesus Christ alone for your salvation, and do it tonight. Don't put it off. If you are one of his people, remember that this is the message of Christmas. This. It's more than a cute baby in a manger and songs and lights and food and gifts and family, as great as all of those things are. The Savior has come, and he's rescued you and delivered you from your bondage and slavery to sin and from the wrath of God. Remember what the angel said to the shepherds, recorded in Luke chapter 2. Do not be afraid. Why? I bring you good news of great joy, which will be for all the people. For today in the city of David, there has been born for you a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And then one more verse down, it says, and suddenly there appeared with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among men with whom he is pleased. If you are one of his people, if you have repented of your sins and put your faith and your trust in Christ, in gratitude for God's grace to you and to me, a guilty sinner, celebrate this Christmas. Celebrate during Christmas. Praise him. Love him, serve him and proclaim this message to the world. Jesus will save his people from their sins. That's the why question that you don't have to be a four-year-old to ask or to answer. For God's glory and our good. Amen.